border. Everyone is an individual and therefore has a border. If one is white, they're not black. If they're black, they're not white. If they're yellow, they're not brown. If they're brown, they're not yellow. If they are awake and alert, they are not asleep and woke. If they're asleep and awoke, they are not awake and alert. Individuality should begin with understanding the basics of truth. We have a document that is entitled All Treatment Standards, Definitions, Quotes, and Summaries. It begins with the three quotes that are a preface to the textbook of Christian Science, which is entitled Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures by Mary Baker Eddy. A very important detail about this book is that Mary Baker Eddy does not take credit for the book, but she says that she was a scribe under orders. Her final edition, which was printed in 1910, very specifically is absent of any copyright, and there is no legal copyright put upon that textbook. There are illegal ones, but we're not concerned about that because we're going to stick with the truth. In fact, there are changes. Her picture was removed immediately after she passed. So we're going to stick with the real one, the one that is the original, and that is on our website. So these three introductory quotes lay the groundwork for what Christian Science is all about. Number one, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Those are words from Jesus and quoted by John in chapter 8. Two, there is nothing either good or bad, but thinking makes it so. That second quote is from Shakespeare. Number three, oh, thou hast heard my prayer, and I am blessed. This is thy high behest, thou here and everywhere. And the words thy and thou are capitalized. So she's referring to God. So number one, if we understand what the truth is, we will be made free from the belief of life, truth, and intelligence in matter. And how do we do that? Number two tells us, there is nothing either good or bad, but thinking makes it so. Where is our thinking? Are we devoting our time to fill our consciousness with the facts about what God is? That's the best thing we can do with our thinking. And also what man is and the relationship between God and man, which is outlined in the first chapter of Genesis, which states that man is made in the image and likeness of God. But it also says we have to let it be made. In other words, we have to open the door. That's the border, which is the topic of this recording. We should have a border that is very firm and sealed. And that means that our consciousness must be a constant filter so that we do not let in our consciousness anything that is unlike God. Jesus recognized the perfect man when he saw someone that appeared to be imperfect to a set of, quote, human eyes. Mary Baker Eddy tells us in the Glossary of Science and Health, page 587, that God is the great I am, all-knowing, all-seeing, all-acting, all-wise, all-loving, and eternal. So all-seeing. All-seeing. She also says that God is principle, mind, soul, spirit, life, truth, and love. That's the last part of that definition of God on 587. And she says that good is God, spirit, omnipotence, omniscience, omnipresence, and omniaction. And omniscience includes all wisdom, all knowing, and all intelligence, or rather omni for each of those. Omni means one, only, and all. There are many helpful things, quotations, and so forth, in this document, which is free on the website, and the button to view it or download it will be in the same area as this treatment that is being recorded. And what is the motto or seal of Christian Science? Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. That is our goal. That is what we should be doing. And the way we can do it is by studying the kinds of things that are going to be in this recording, and starting off with the things that were mentioned as the first three quotes, which leads to the definition of God. Mathematics has 9 digits. The terms for God are 7, which have been mentioned here. Mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love. And there are 4 operators in math, which are add, subtract, multiply, divide. And there are 4 operators in the science of divine metaphysics, which include the Word, the Christ, Christianity, and science. In short, the Word means the facts about God. The Christ means no matter what we have come our way, are we able to translate it and focus on the truth instead of be swayed by the mesmerism of evil, or I should say a so-called evil. It tries to mock truth, but it is a fake. Just like fake news. They try to make it sound real, but in essence, it is fake. It is a mirage. It is unreal. Christianity, the third element of the 4 operators, is Christianity. Christianity means that we use the facts about God, we utilize the translation that was just mentioned, and we then can practice demonstrating it, exercising what we've learned and what we continue to strive to understand better, the facts about God and man, and translating whatever we're faced with to see it through the lens of spirit. And if we do this successfully, we will have healing. That is Christianity. It's our daily living. And how are we going to handle it? How are we going to perfect it? How are we going to get rid of the mesmerism of error and focus on the spirituality of truth? The 4th one is science. And if you look at page 115 to 116 of Science and Health, that shows you exactly what the 4 levels are of the system of divine metaphysics. And that is science. Science starts at the highest level, which is God, and man being the idea of God. And it works down to the lowest level, which is depravity. Depravity is the problem that we face when we see all of the things that are coming our way. Because those are false. They are mirage. They are fake. Kurt Russell, the well-known actor, was asked about what does he think about the movies that he's been in. And he said, well, they are all mirage. That's fantasy land. He said, but life is reality. Well, we have to make sure the life that we're cultivating is the life of spirit, which is the true reality. And anything that is not spiritual is unreal. Anything unlike God is unreal. It is a fantasy land, not something we should believe or something we should believe that we should be thinking about or acting out or talking about. Jesus says that what we think about is the same as what we are doing. that's the same as, it's the same evil. He says, if you're thinking about it, that's evil. In fact, if there's anything you're doing that even appears to be evil, that's a problem. We want to avoid it. So what is this thing about borders all about? As mentioned, it is filtering. Filtering. How about the border of a country? Do we want to leave it wide open and let everything come in? Symbolism of evil, terrorists, drugs, child trafficking, Satanism, gun running, bioweapons, and anyone that is involved in acting out any of these kinds of things. Anything that is unlike God should be stopped at the border. It should be stopped at our border of our own individual consciousness. We should not let it in. We should not dwell on it. We should only address it so that we can make sure we know what we're doing and we reject anything that is ungodlike and we do not let it in consciousness, period. We sterilize our thought about it and any speech and any action. Mary Baker Eddy says, the only reason to enter into an immoral atmosphere is in an attempt to purify it. And don't let yourself be enticed in saying you've got to go into all the immoral atmospheres that are around you, because then your thought is going to be encumbered with everything that is involved with the immoral atmosphere. But should you run across it, and after prayer, realize that you can do something about it, then by all means, be my guest. But generally speaking, any exposure we have to something that is not godlike is not good to let even as a short-term entertainment to be in our consciousness. At the beginning of this recording, it was indicated that individualism is important, and what that really is intended to mean is that everyone has their own individual characteristics. They should all be reflections of the one and only incorporeal divine supreme and infinite mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love. They shouldn't be one that is filled with evil habits such as, well, anything. Forget it. I don't even need to name it. Anything ungodlike, period. Anything ungodlike. We should put our border up there, an infinite wall that goes up to God. So nobody can get over it unless they are up there at the level of God. Then come on in. Those are the kinds of thoughts we should let. We should cultivate to be in our consciousness. What do you think would happen with all of the problems we have at the border of America, particularly the border between America, the United States, and Mexico, but also the same problem exists in a lesser amount between the border of U.S. and Canada, and also on the east and west, on the oceans, the ports, big problem. Up and down the coast, that is waterway, that's international waterway, ocean that is accessible by other countries, is a problem. Rivers are a problem. The Rio Grande River, it's a border between Mexico and the U.S., a problem. The solution is that we must individually purify our thought. We must think about spirit. Spirit is flawless. Are we thinking purity when we're thinking about a border? Because we should. It should be a filtering system. A filtering system that operates all the time. Love is not letting others do what they want to do. Mary Baker Eddy states that she makes strong demands on love. What do you think she means by that? A very simple example. Suppose you have children, or even one child, or you're caring for someone else's child or children, and you're going out walking, shopping, or whatever, and you need to go across the street where there are cars. In fact, it could be any kind of a vehicle. It could be a bicycle. It could be a skateboard. It could be someone running or even walking. The point is, you don't let children that don't know what to do be alone. They have to be protected. You hold their hand or whatever you need to do to block them, keep them from crossing without having your guidance to make sure it's safe. Well, what are we going to do when there is a road with anything else that is not safe to let in our consciousness? Anything at all. It could be a billboard that has pictures of something that is mortally enticing to the unwary thought. Are we going to stare at it, take it in? Are we going to let it entice us? No matter what it is, anything ungodlike, it doesn't matter what name or label it has on it, they are all the same. And remember what Jesus said, if you're thinking about it, it's the same as doing it. And again, what was said about if you appear, give the appearance of evil. So in other words, if you're looking at it and someone sees you looking at it, that's certainly giving the appearance of evil. So what kind of a border do we want? Do we want one that is open, unattended, without divine principle in operation? Do we want one that runs wild with personal senses of seeing, hearing, feeling, tasting, and smelling that are enticing to a mortal thought? In other words, from page 115, the depravity level. Is that what we want? Do we want to become that? Remember what Shakespeare said, nothing either good or bad, but thinking makes it so. If we're thinking about it, it makes it real for us. Do we want to have God be real? Then we better be thinking about the real God, not some fake. Even Jesus said very clearly that he is not God. Mary Baker Eddy says he was the most perfect man and the most scientific man that ever trod the globe. So if we want an example to follow, wow, that's a dandy one. In fact, he even said, follow me. That doesn't mean walk down a dirt road that he was on. It means follow his path of thinking, his path of speech, his path of actions. He threw over the money tables. Threw them over. Upset them. He was not pleased and gentle with them. He enforced discipline. They were trying to make a profit in the synagogue. In fact, churches almost totally are corrupt. They talk about money. They talk about donations. They talk about all kinds of things that are a focus away from the spirituality. Music is a large part of most church services. I like music very much. Spent 11 years in piano lessons. Everyone in our family spent all the time they were living at home, except me. I was able to get out early. I was in sports after school, and I was working, had a job, and I had accomplished what Dad wanted me to accomplish in playing the piano. So he let me off the 12th year. Nothing wrong with music. But if our purpose in going to church is to learn about God, then music should not be a major part of the service. And I don't mean to be criticizing other churches, but I'm just pointing out that we have to decide what we're going to do with our moments. Mary Baker Eddy says one of the most important things between success and failure is how we use our moments. If we have a one-hour church service and we use 40 minutes of it for music, that's probably not the right percentage of the total time. I was in a church service. I went with a friend one time. Everybody was happy, but it was 40 minutes approximately of music and 20 minutes of a sermon. And yes, the preacher had some good things to say, but if we reverse that and spent 20 minutes on music and 40 minutes on trying to get a better sense of God, that would probably be a faster way down the path of truth to make success, to make progress. Mary Baker Eddy says, infinite progression is concrete being. So we need to be making progress without interruption if we want something really substantial. She says concrete being. I believe she means by that something really substantial. Because the path is infinite in its length, and so we need to be pursuing it all the time. There's no retirement. You don't get to a certain age and say, okay, well, I don't need to study the Bible and Christian Science textbooks anymore or any other person's writings. Einstein stated, he said, blessed art thou, because all that is in this book. And he was referring to Mary Baker Eddy as thou, and he was referring to the Christian Science textbook, as stated, is entitled Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures by Mary Baker Eddy, as the book. And he also said, imagine a woman discovered this 80 years ago. And he was referring to the scientific statement of being. There's no life, truth, intelligence, or substance in matter. He was amazed because he spent his whole life trying to understand what makes the world tick. He invented the mathematical formula for relativity. And he became famous for that. He said he'd like to ride a beam of light throughout the universe. So even though he spent his life studying physics and everything related to it, he recognized what Mary Baker Eddy had done and what Christian Science is. His friend, whose name was Dr. Underwood, who was on the Atomic Energy Commission, was among a crew of people, and everyone passed on except him from radiation. And Einstein was amazed. Einstein was not in the group, and he was good friends with him, and he was amazed. He says, how did you do it? Why didn't you, disappear because of the problem? And he said, well, I study Christian Science. And Einstein had been aware of Christian Science and kind of dabbled around with it a little bit. But then when he saw what happened to his friend, who openly admitted that his life was saved as a result of his cultivation of understanding of what God is and man is and his relationship to God, and that he was relating himself to being those qualities of what Mary Baker Eddy describes as man, then Einstein took an entirely new approach to sincerely and aggressively study Christian Science. He attended church services. He went to the reading room to study, and he was not bashful about commenting about his thoughts, which have been quoted just in the last couple of minutes. So how should we think about borders? Should we have an ironclad border between truth and error? Mind that is immortal and a so-called mortal mind, which Mary Baker Eddy calls as an oxymoron. In other words, it's an impossible phrase to combine two words that are totally opposite without explanation. In other words, there has to be a clear line drawn between what is real and what is not real. And we have to understand that we better be utilizing the part that is real to be occupying our thought, speech, and action. If we do that, and we really give it the mothering qualities of nurturing, because that's what a mother represents as a symbol, is someone that is nurturing. That's the overall aspect of it. Love is really the plan and design of everything in all existence. So that includes both the carrot and the stick. The carrot is the attraction to be expressing the impersonal love that Jesus expressed, and the stick is the discipline that we must have that border. We must not permit anything unlike God to, you know, take a room out in our consciousness, or maybe two or three rooms. We don't let it take any occupancy in our thought. It's like the salesman, the unwary salesman that is aggressive and not very thoughtful, sticks his foot in the door so you can't close it. And finally, you open it up, let him in. Then he talks away until you sign the deal. Well, we don't want to sign any deal with the devil. That's what it is when we let thoughts that are unlike God enter into our interconsciousness, our inner self, the kingdom within. If we let anything unlike God pass through that border, which is supposed to be sealed tight, then we are inviting trouble. We will get nowhere. Spirit being substance, and of course everything with God is one only and all, it's omni, that means there is no competing substance, period. As a matter of fact, this reminds me of the gal that was training the girls to run a race, and she said, "Don't worry about anyone else on the track. You've been trained to run this race in a certain number of seconds, and you stay on track. Don't even look at other people and where they are on the racetrack. That has nothing to do with you. You run your own race." That's what we've got to do. We've got to have our own filter. We have to have our own border. We have to be focusing on the truth. We have to make sure that when we're using our senses of seeing, hearing, feeling, tasting, and smelling, that they are filtered with the sanctuary of spirit. We have to be looking through that lens of spirit, and then our substance will be flawless. It will be transparent. And like the Indians used to say, the smile of the Great Spirit, when they had a beautiful lake with surrounding trees and so forth and calm water, they said that's the smile of the Great Spirit. We want to be looking for the smile of the Great Spirit in all activities. Mary Baker Eddy stopped several times a day of whatever she was doing, and she would focus on filling her thought with perfection, making sure that everyone she was thinking about or doing business with or teaching or whatever, that her thought was spiritual in nature, flawless. That's what she focused on, perfection. And she said when she did that and did it consistently, that it would prevent these kinds of ungodly thoughts, anything ungodly, enter. Because she was focusing where it needed to be focused, on spirit, the truth, perfection. She says the good we do and embody gives us the only power obtainable. Well, mind includes creative ability. And of course, it includes all capacity, all capability, all functionality, all facility. There can't be any dilution, diversion, no stoppage or reversal. Since God is omni, there is no competition or opposition. So if we're running a race, don't worry about the competition. Don't look at where the other people are. If we're running a business, don't worry about what other businesses are doing. Now, if we want to have an open thought and see if we can learn from them, that's a different story. Obviously, we don't want to be inventing the wheel. It's already been invented. Let's use the wheel. Use the ideas that other people have cultivated that are successful. That's not violating any morality. Utilizing the ideas that are publicly available, that doesn't mean we hire an investigator to go in and try to steal their confidential papers or hack into their computer system. It means that, for example, if they're a retail store, walk through the retail store and be observant. You know, how do they have things laid out? Is there an idea that's better than what you're using? That's exactly what the fellow that started Walmart did, Sam Walton. He went to other stores and he picked up any idea he could. One of the greatest, if not the greatest conductor of all time, studied all the other conductors. He didn't just read books, he studied particularly the best that there was. And he ended up being able to conduct an entire orchestra for the entire performance without using his hands. Period. He didn't talk. He didn't use any kind of an instrument of waving, a wand. No, it was all mental. He had the music memorized. He knew it so well. In fact, he knew it. That's better than memorizing it. He knew the music. He knew what the instruments were supposed to be playing and when they were supposed to be coming in for their performance as a solo or an emphasis in the orchestration and so forth. He closed his eyes. He didn't look at anyone. He closed his eyes. And he communicated mentally to every single one in the orchestra. Mr. Rawson, one of the greatest practitioners of all time, and gave us that beautiful encyclopedia. We call it in the Institute here A to Z. He goes from A to Z with 1,315 different ailments and gives us a short phrase on what the problem is, and he gives us the counterfact that is what we should be working on and expanding on in our treatment. The purpose of our treatments is that we do exactly that. We follow what Mary Baker Eddy and Mr. Rawson promulgates, and that is to deny that there is any validity in the error and affirm the truth. We have to expose the error. We have to analyze it and expose it, making sure we get the right error, because the symbol, the symptom, may not be pointing in the right direction. As I've said before, people would come to Mary Baker Eddy when they couldn't heal a problem And one case in particular, she says, what are you working on? And they were working on what the symptom was pointing to. And she says, no, that's the wrong thing to work on. She says, work on malpractice. Malpractice is what that particular case needed to solve. By the way, Wentworth Winslow has 3 articles on malpractice. He has 4 books. They're all titled With God. They're very short words. And he has 3 articles that I highly recommend so he'd get a better aspect of what malpractice is all about. I talked briefly about some of the synonyms. Life is, as you can think and imagine, is living. Living the qualities of God. And principle is system and structure, always in balance, always harmonious. But the plan and design of divine principle is love. Truth is consciousness. So if someone is unconscious, we can be treating them based on the fact that God is always conscious, and God's idea of man is a reflection of that consciousness and being conscious. In other words, aware, awake, not woke, not asleep. That's what truth is. And obviously truth is not a mistake. It's not error. It's the opposite of error. In fact, truth is the healer of any problem. That's one of the duties of truth. Mind is the administrator. Mind is the director. Mind is the medicine. But truth is the healer. In other words, our thought is the medicine. We have to administer the right thoughts. And then the truth is the healer. Love includes other things besides just plan and design and nurturing, although the nurturing needs to be expanded to say that what are we going to nurture? We're going to nurture all the qualities of God. And of course, on a human level, that certainly means kindness and generosity and thoughtfulness, tolerance. Those are all relative terms. That's why I say on the human level. And that's where Jesus operated when he was dealing with any individual. He had to deal with where they were. He had to be kind, considerate, tolerant. Look at his disciples. Every single one was a traitor. He knew it. They didn't understand the science of what he was doing. It would be more of a faith healing. In fact, Mary Baker Eddy said there were 2,000 people that she had permitted to come to her home on a 4th of July, and she told Laura Sargent, one of her right-hand people that lived at the home, Pleasant View, the estate in Concord, New Hampshire. She says, Laura, I look out on this group of 2,000 people, and I don't see a single Christian Scientist. What did she mean by that? She meant they're not praying ceaselessly. In other words, when someone visited her one time, she said, what do you do if you see, if you're walking along the street or out in the country or anywhere and you see a stray dog or you see an accident or whatever? What do you do? And he was baffled by what she said. You know, he was hesitating, pausing, and didn't know what to say. And she said, well, are you a Christian Scientist? Then he knew what she was looking for. Things that we've been talking about in this recording. He knew he should be tending to that accident in his own thought, knowing that there is no accident, and man is the image of God and cannot be damaged, and there can't be any destruction, because God doesn't make destruction. God is constructive. You know, he is the creative ability. He's not the destructive so-called atom bomb. He is the mind that is constant. that is unlimited, infinite power. Why? Because every quality about him is omni, one only and all. So the intelligence, the wisdom, the capability, functionality, the facility, creative ability, that all comes together and makes performance. And when you put action with that, that gives you power. So you've got the ingredients for performance, but you need the action. And God is omni-action. And God is omnipresent, so no matter where we are, he is there. No matter where our thought level is, he's available. We just have to reach out and make sure our thought and our purpose is genuine. He's there. He's available. Omnipresent. No limit to his power. No limit to the intelligence, wisdom, or knowing, which is the omniscience. No limit to the action that he can bring forth, or that we can recognize and exercise, or let it be exercised. Our border needs to be secure. We don't let anything unlike God in our consciousness, which is our border. It is infinite within, as we, in proportion as we reflect God, but it's not tolerant of evil. It doesn't let a child that needs to be restrained from running out and getting run over by a car. We have to restrain it. We have to make sure that we are holding the hand of truth no matter where we're going to wander. That means that we're not going to permit anything into our border, into our consciousness. Imagine how the world would be right now, and that everybody recognized how it would be right now, if everyone thought of a border along the lines of what was in this, what has been in this recording. Would we have any problem with terrorists or murderers or thieves? They wouldn't even exist. If everyone thought about their brother as being the perfect individual, like Jesus did, there wouldn't be any problem. This couple, and I know you've heard it before if you've listened to all the recording, but this couple had a robber come in, steal a bunch of things and leave. And from the moment he came in, and he was apparently having a gun with him and so forth, as soon as they were aware that somebody that there was an intruder, as soon as they were aware that there was an intruder, they immediately started thinking along the lines that we're talking about here, about what is God, what is man? Are we going to have a pure thought? Where's our border going to be? Is it going to be secure with truth, with goodness? And he left. They kept on thinking the same thing, even though he took all these things. Pretty soon he came back and knocked on the door, or rang the bell, whatever. He said, I don't know what came over me. Here's all your things. I hope you will forgive me. See, they didn't stop. Just because it seemed like it was over, they didn't stop. That's what we have to do with our border. We can never stop. We have to pray ceaselessly. Remember, Mary Baker Eddy said, use the moments. That's the difference between success and failure. Are we using the moments all the time? We have to. The opposite of truth never quits. As long as there's truth, there's an opposite to it. In fact, that's one way we know that we are thinking about truth, is because we see the opposite and we reverse it. That's what Mr. Rawson does in his encyclopedia. He defines what the error is and then he reverses it. He shows you the counterfact to it, just like Mary Baker Eddy says. Explain it away with the truth. She says we have to know the counterfact to every error in order to cure it. We just have to make sure, as mentioned, that we are not decoyed and that we are not working on the symptom that may be pointing in the wrong direction. And as we get more spirit word in our thought, we will be able to recognize quicker what the real problem is, so that we are not fooled and working on the wrong thing. I will end this with the same words that Mr. Rawson did when he saw a cart full of rocks that was drawn by an animal. This was back 100 years ago when they didn't have much in the way of trucks. And it was full of rocks, and the driver got out and went back to look at the tailgate. Something excited the animal, and he raised up and he dumped all the rocks on the driver, totally covered. Probably would have been death, except for the fact that Mr. Rawson was there viewing it, and he said these few words: "There is nothing but God." The man came coming out of there like a rocket, totally unscratched, unharmed, as if nothing ever happened. And of course, it really didn't in reality. Those are the words. There is nothing but God. Amen.